Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
I will say 24-23 Saints, and I will I will say BW comes through with a key comes through with an interception at the end.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. LSU plays Alabama this weekend. The Saints play San Francisco to get to 500. You have a huge football weekend. Go to the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They have 136 draft beers. They have a late night menu. They have an awesome regular menu. The Pelican House, they're awesome. You should support them because they support us. All right, Kevin.
Do they serve? I know they have 136 draft beers, but do they serve Richard Sherman's tears by chance? I could go for a couple pints of those.
Oh my
god! Goddamn, I bet that's delicious.
Kevin, since people they heard it in the intro that you predicted the game almost exactly correct, down to BW Webb making the game saving play. I know this win is awesome for me and you because we hate Pete Carroll. He's a truther. But is the scenario of the Saints winning...
Richard Sherman's tears melt steel beams.
Kevin, this is my dream scenario.
Well done.
The Saints, not only did they win, but they won because of like a dozen penalties on Seattle, and Seattle was salty after the game because of the penalties. Like it was my dream scenario. Is there any way this game could have been more perfect?
I mean, I suppose had the Saints just pistol whipped Seattle from the get go, but I mean, hanging on and giving Saints fans
a heart attack.
A near heart attack at the end. I didn't like that. But I mean, you had Jimmy Graham basically get shut down. He got salty. Didn't want to talk to the media after the game. He kept Russell Wilson from throwing a touchdown.
Is someone eating something or walking?
Seattle's offense.
I'm walking on my limestone pathway.
I was about to say gravel.
Yeah.
Ooh, limestone. That's the fancy stone.
Ooh, limestone.
That t-shirt money is getting the nice gravel there for you.
Yeah. We've actually had this October is actually the best month we've ever had in 8 years of me owning the store.
Oh well.
And look at that. Baron Von Dave here. He's the t-shirt baron. Seattle's offense put up 13 points.
They put up a trick play and two field goals. That's what they put up.
Right. And one of those excuse me, I'm getting over being sick. And one of those touchdowns was off the goddamn trickiest trickeration. I guarantee you Sean Payton probably got a boner off watching that. But I mean, from like the final like 1.5 minutes, whatever the hell, yeah, this game was great. Game was absolutely great.
I did love that Seattle pulled the trickeration, and Sean Payton immediately on the following drive was like, oh, you want to play that way, huh? You want to play like that? All right, I'll just do a flea flicker and embarrass Richard Sherman.
Yeah,
I thought that was great.
I'm kind of mad at you, Andrew, because you goaded me into saying on Twitter that I would eat cat food if the Saints won, because you had the ridiculous tweet of, it's a bad play, marking a fumble, but it's still early. They could still come back and win. And then you text me on my phone, it's a catastrophe. They're doomed. So you're telling the people one thing, and you're telling me one thing on my phone, and I was like three drinks in, so I was salty, and I was just like, I'm going to eat cat food if they win this game. And I was like, I was 100% sure they weren't winning. I'm not going to lie.
Look, Ralph, I'm not going to lie either. After that fumble and the scoop and score, I was at the game, and I was halfway into typing up a tweet because I like you, Ralph, I had was like, there's no way this team isn't mentally prepared and talented to overcome that kind of mistake.
Well, that's been the narrative every press conference. It's Sean Payton every loss, he's like, we don't have the talent to make up for, we don't have the margin of error to absorb something like that.
Yeah, I thought for sure, I was like, that's it. I said 3 minutes into this game and it's already over because there's just no way we're gonna overcome this. And I was literally halfway I had typed up half of it. I had typed up 80 characters out of 140 saying something similar, like this game is already over. Like they don't have, and I said, you know what? I'm typically negative, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to eat shit if I me, and so I didn't send it. And sure enough, by the end of the game, I said, you know what? I'm glad I took that back, and I didn't even see your tweet, Ralph, about the cat food. I'm glad somebody called you out for that. And
like half my Twitter followers. I'm surprised they weren't tweeting cat emojis.
But you know, I had some negative stuff.
You're a big man for
good on the listeners and the followers for keeping us in check, man. Good on you guys. Yeah. I feel like you can't let us get away with trashing the Saints and then them coming back and winning. You got to call us out on that. No. I would expect.
And that's why I didn't say anything, because I didn't want to be called out. And it was still very early. That was the other reason. But Ralph, I my point being is that I don't think any of us could really blame you for thinking that early.
I
mean,
that was a full on
because really and truly, I
it was a full.
Hey, let's be honest. Like, even the people that were calling out Ralph were absolutely thinking it too.
Yeah. They're like, we're gonna remember 100%. That. They're gonna remember that, and then like middle of the third quarter, people were like, just like kind of poking at me, like, hey, kind of close. Dave, the Saints had one of your favorite things. They had the ultimate for the balance truthers out there on offense. Like, this was their wet dream. 35 runs, 35 passes.
Yeah, except that Dave must have been a little butthurt about Mark Ingram not being part of that balance. No.
Yeah, I was, but I can't blame Peyton for making that decision. And I mean, it wasn't just the fumble this game. I think this goes back to him fumbling on the goal line last week, and blowing the game last week. So, the question is really is where are they going to go from here? Are they going to? I mean, is Mark Ingram ever going to see the field again this season?
Kevin,
I'm dead serious.
Kevin, how many people were killed in the stampede to the waiver wire? Will be killed in the stampede to the fantasy football waiver wire tomorrow to pick up Tim Hightower?
Shit, it's already happened. People, I guarantee you, people were fucking doing that on their way out the concourse.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Andrew, the only
thing... Yeah, but that's the time to do it when you've been drinking that $8 beer and you're shit-housed.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. But, I mean, this is just one game. And, I mean,
yeah,
it
but
was
this
great
is,
to see Peyton committed to the run.
If you need a running back this week, you want to start any Saints running back. And we'll get to that in a little bit later when we get to the San Francisco prediction.
Well, I do have to say this, that I was super desperate for a running back this week in fantasy. And... I actually, yesterday morning, I took a flyer on the guy on Seattle Prios.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I actually started him. I picked him up and started him, and he actually got me like 14 points. And I was like, oh, this is not bad actually. So I was actually pretty happy about that.
Andrew, the only thing that the Saints offense didn't do well. Yesterday, they scored six straight times on Seattle and didn't punt after the first quarter. Which there won't be a team in the NFL that will do that the rest of the year to Seattle. I promise you that. The only thing bad was the red zone offense, especially at the goal line, was just horrible. And if Tim Hightower is going to get the majority of the carries, is that something we should worry about, or is that just like, yeah, Seattle's just really good and it won't?
No, I think a ton of it has to do with Seattle's front. I think another underrated thing about Seattle is their size. I think it's hard to throw in the red zone when you've got corners that are that big. And those are the guys they go out and recruit, you know, and those are the guys, well, I shouldn't say recruit, but draft and pick up. But that kind of fits their scheme. So when you get in the red zone, you know, throwing on a Richard Sherman at 6'3", and you know, they've got big corners in the slot and on the other side. So you really have to – it's tough to punch it in. You know, it's tough to get those mismatches against guys in size when they're playing in less space. So, you know, I think part of it is the Seattle front. I also think Hightower is not me as good as he was in between the 20s. I don't really view him as like a goal line power back. That's where I think they could have used Ingram.
I mean, I know Ingram's fumbling aside. Am I totally insane to think that Tim Hightower is better than Ingram right now? I feel like Ingram is slow and he's not hitting the holes well. I feel like Hightower, for all that.
I think Ingram does everything well. Or I would say everything pretty well. So, you know, he's a great blocker. He catches the ball pretty well. He runs the football well. So, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of it with him is mental. And I just think he's trying to do too much. You know, I think the best backs are the patient ones that, you know, aren't trying to do too much. They kind of take what the defense gives them. And right now, I just think Ingram is lacking in confidence. And so it's all kind of imploding for him. So, you know, I think he needs to take a step back and kind of get back to what he does well and take what the defense gives him. But, yeah, I mean, you just see Hightower. I've kind of seen this all season. You see him kind of find the hole, and then he just hits it. And, yes, he seems to have more speed than Ingram.
That's scary.
Kevin, I'm sorry, he does what?
I don't even.
He does what?
I don't even know if he's that much
He
better.
Seems to have more speed than Ingram.
No. Dave, I'm sorry.
I don't even know if that's true.
The point before that.
He hits the hole.
He seems to find the hole and do what?
And hit it.
I can't remember what I said. Can you remind me?
God damn it. He seems to find the hole and hit it hard, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yes, I did say
that. Hey, let me drag the sexual innuendo out of the period.
Kevin.
I don't even know if... I think Hightower just looks faster just because he's... He always keeps his legs moving and his feet moving. I think that just gives him the appearance that he's actually faster.
Maybe.
Illusions, Michael.
All I got to say is that they ran a sweep pitch with
I noticed that, and I thought of you. I thought of you immediately.
It actually worked.
If you had told me the Saints are going to beat Seattle and Tim Hightower was going to run for 100 yards, I'd have said it was more likely that the dead would rise from the grave and turn Wilson into a zombie and the Saints would win because Seattle would have to play the backup quarterback than Tim Hightower running for 100 yards.
Let me say this too. And I've been a proponent of the Saints trading one of their running backs since they seem to have an abundance. But look,
for what, a six-pack? What are you going to get?
Look, no. If Peyton is done with Hightower, if Peyton is mentally just ready to move on with
Ingram.
Yeah. If Peyton is mentally ready to move on with Ingram, and if Ingram is just going to sit on the bench and stand there on the sidelines by himself all lonely, I don't know if you saw my tweet, but he was definitely just standing there by himself all lonely. But I mean, if that's their plan for him for the rest of the season, then they ought to put him on the block and see if they can
get it done by tomorrow.
Something.
I mean, angry Ingram is way better than sad Ingram.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying they're going to get,
a fifth round pick. That's what you get.
Something, fourth, fifth, sixth, something like that. But and anything is still, I think, worth it compared to a guy that if you're planning on sitting him and not using him anymore.
I don't think he's going to sit. I mean, I think Hightower will start at least for now, and he'll be given a chance, and he deserves it. But you know, I think they kind of stuck with Hightower this game to punish Ingram. I don't care what Sean Payton said in the press, and he said, no, we were going to put Ingram back in, but Hightower was playing well. That's BS. I think he doesn't want to blast Ingram in the press. But Ingram was punished for fumbling for the second week in a row and costing the team.
Yeah.
Now, moving forward, I still think, you know, the Saints are back by committee, and I do think Hightower will start, and I think he'll probably get 60% of the carries next week. But, you know, if he's not playing that well, if the Saints aren't really getting it going, I mean, if he's running for 100 yards again, then yeah, sure, he's going to see 20 carries, and Ingram might not play that much. But I think if he's like five carries in and he has 10 yards, I absolutely think they'll bring in Ingram, and he'll get some reps. And if he runs well, he'll get a chance to play.
If he has five carries for 10 yards against San Francisco, that means he's dead. Kevin, are we cool with Will Lutz as the kicker now?
Best training workout, session. Best kicking workout.
That should be his name, training session.
I mean, I was feeling pretty good about it when he was lining up for that kick to like make it so they needed a touchdown to win. I felt pretty good about it.
I got to be honest, that 50, the 50 something yarder, I was thinking to myself, that one. Yeah, I was thinking, look, it'll be on the point. Does it have enough leg? And then once he made that, I was like, okay, all right, I feel good about this.
And Dustin Hopkins missed a short field goal in London, cost the Redskins a win.
Yeah, game winner in overtime, right?
Yeah, he made it.
The game winner.
They clock blocked him, and he had to do it again, and he shanked it.
Clock blocked him.
Andrew. Saints defense, was it good versus Seattle, or is Seattle's offense terrible?
I think it's a little bit of both.
You mean a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
To quote Kevin Sean Hill.
I think it's clear that their offensive line obviously is missing some guys, and I think it's more honestly, it's less that and more the fact that Russell Wilson is just not himself. He's clearly injured. And I think when your offensive line is banged up and you've got a quarterback whose greatest asset is his escapability, and you basically take that away from him, you know, he was forced to get rid of the football pretty quickly and be a pocket quarterback.
Yeah,
who he is.
They had two or three times where he just was like, I don't want to run, but I have to try to run, and he got nothing.
Now, I will say this. I thought the Saints did an excellent job bottling up Jimmy Graham. And, you know, obviously Stupar had the pick.
God in heaven he didn't catch the winning touchdown pass. That would have been the worst.
They didn't even throw it to him.
I know. How can you
Why don't you go to Jimmy Graham or Baldwin? Go to one of your tall guys in the corner.
Oh, my God. You just run
Saints were exceptional.
Corner play to Jimmy Graham where he was a square in. I mean, that's like unstoppable.
Well, they were probably thinking we're going to go with whatever receiver is being covered by B.W. Webb.
Yeah, and they got burned.
When there's trouble, you just call BW.
I mean,
finally, all those years of watching Darkwing Duck have paid off.
Yeah.
Let's get dangerous.
But I mean,
oh, good, somebody got it.
But how are we? Are we seeing any progress in this defense, Dave? Or are we just trying to trick ourselves into believing that it's making progress?
Well, I mean, look, I wrote a short little thing today. I know, shocker. First of all, Delvin Bro and Sheldon Rankins should be coming back very, very soon. So that'll help. And I'll put it this way. It can't possibly hurt that all these young guys like B.W. Webb and Ken Crawley, it can't possibly hurt that they're getting all of this real in-game experience. It's not hurting them.
But I mean,
is it helping them? Very possibly. Very, very possibly. I mean, it's got to give you a little confidence. It's certainly going to give you experience, which is what you need in the NFL more than anything else, I think, and reps and that kind of stuff. I honestly think these are not the kind of players. I'll put it this way. These are not the guys that you want starting, but with more experience and the experience they're getting, they're becoming the guys that you want.
You don't want them. Sorry, you don't want these guys on your team. in an ideal world.
Well, yes, you do. Yeah, yeah, but at this point, and now they've got 4 or 5 games under their belt, and they're getting it. And, you know, those are the kind of guys that you want second string, third string, backing up your starters. The problem is that these guys are starting right now. And the problem is that because the front office and Mickey Loomis et al. Have made some just absolutely terrible drafting and free agent decisions over the last 3-4 years, that because we've lost our starters, we have to play guys like these guys, like B.W. Webb and Ken Crawley and all that. But I think that absolutely getting these reps and getting these this experience and this opportunity is got to be at least helping them a little bit. So it'll be good, and you know, so it'll be good when Delvin Bro comes back. It'll be good to have him start, and it'll be good to have a guy like B.W. Webb as your nickel or as your backup or as a, you know, to spell him. You know, that's a little bit better than him actually starting, obviously.
Kevin, I know you are the president emeritus or
emeritus.
Emeritus, yeah. President emeritus of the
sounds like a disease.
Right now.
You are the founder of the trade down, don't trade your draft picks away. But the Patriots were given away an all-pro linebacker today for a third-round pick.
I don't think we have a third-round pick to give up.
Do we not?
And they gave away a goddamn linebacker that they really couldn't afford to give away.
Who do the Saints? The Saints have a third-round pick, don't they?
I was being facetious, but it's possible they don't.
Kevin, not for long. They don't.
But Kevin, would you if New England called you up and was like, "Hey, Mickey, give us a third-round pick. We'll give you Jamie Collins." Would you have done it today?
Probably, yeah. But
if Kevin says that, then you know it's
because okay. Here's the thing: you sign him only if you're gonna give him a deal. Like
trade for him.
Now here's the thing: if they'd have traded for him and then let his ass walk at the end of the year, then I'd be absolutely furious.
Well, you get because the compensatory pick back, maybe.
Okay.
Well, that's like Cleveland. Cleveland's theory is like, hey, we sign him, and if he leaves, we'll get a compensatory pick back, and it'll be in the third or fourth round anyway, so whatever.
Okay.
So it's almost like a trade. But here's the thing. He wants Von Miller money, which I like Jamie Collins and all, but, I mean, $100 million. I don't know if I'm giving him $100 million. But Andrew,
well, can I look? Wait, can I just say this about that trade? I mean, first of all, Belichick is obviously he's on a whole other level as far as coaching, and the Patriots front office is on another level as far as the decisions they're making, and they're obviously, you know, they don't make many bad decisions. I feel like, and I feel like the Patriots are an organization that should be studied. They should be observed, and they should try to be copied as much as possible. So my feeling is if the Patriots are willing to get rid of this guy, there's a reason for it. Belichick isn't just—he's not just giving away a linebacker like this if there's not something wrong. And I'm not saying it could be—I'm not saying it's necessarily on the field or his play. It could be in the locker room. It could be something.
You know,
and the Saints should not be going anywhere near.
Any trade offered to you by the Patriots, you've got
exactly.
to be Lyria.
Exactly.
Well, you know
you
what that reminds me of?
It's like that old saying. If you're in a room and you're making a deal and you don't see the sucker, you're the sucker.
And that sort of applies.
Well,
and that's coming from the T-shirt Baron of New Orleans, people.
And to prove my point, look at the organization they found to make this deal with.
Well, Dave,
Do the Cleveland Browns ever make a good? And make any good moves ever in their history in the last 10 years? No.
20 years.
They found the Cleveland Browns. That was their sucker, and they pulled the trigger, and Bill Belichick right now is smoking a cigar and laughing his fucking ass off.
Well, I'll
because
give you
he just took advantage of the Browns like every other team takes advantage of the Browns.
I'll give you an example of why you shouldn't trade with the Patriots. It's kind of far back, so Dave, you might not remember, but I bet you Kevin and Andrew will. The Saints traded with New England. They gave New England a second round pick for New England's all pro safety.
To Sucky
Jones. And I remember I was Buddy D's producer, and Buddy D was like, I don't like that trade. Bill Belichick is 10 times smarter than the Saints.
Yes, he still is.
And I was like, nothing but he was so good in the Super Bowl, buddy. He's like, I don't trust it. And he was right. So,
Yeah, yep. they unloaded Sammy Knight and picked up Tesucky. I mean, I've never seen
and
a
gave
guy,
Tesucky a 5-year, $20 million extension, which at the time was.
I've never seen a guy whiff on big hits more than Tesucky Jones.
And just look and think about this too. Collins was about to become a free agent, right after the season, an unrestricted free agent. Yep. Was he about to become an unrestricted? Okay, so that's the guy was going to need to get paid. So instead of waiting until free agency and letting him walk because you know you're not going to pay him whatever contract he wants. Ralph just said he wants what's his face money. They got a third round pick out of him. They wouldn't have gotten that draft pick if he just walked in free agency. What Belichick and the Patriots do that not a lot of other teams do, and I know goddamn well the Saints don't do it, is they're thinking down the road. They think five steps ahead. Instead of fucking spending their offseason worrying about how they're going to get under the cap, they're already under the cap and thinking about that during the season and making moves to prevent them from getting into these situations.
He's playing three-dimensional chess while everybody else is playing checkers.
He's playing three-dimensional chess while everybody else is picking their nose.
He really is. They got a fucking third-round pick for a guy that they were about to get nothing for because they were going to let him walk and not pay him what he wanted anyway.
Well, here's the thing, though.
That's a smart move.
And
that's
I'm
going to
tell you something about Jimmy
does.
Collins.
That's what a good front office
Jimmy
does.
Collins, Jimmy Collins, good football player. Von Miller, he is not.
Well, here's the thing, though. Speaking of the trade deadline, look, you know, it ends. I don't know when. I think it's midnight tomorrow or 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Four. It's usually four.
But here's the thing, Andrew. The Saints are kind of sorta in contention in the NFC South. So if something drops in their lap, like Cleveland wanting to offload, say, that corner that
Barkevious.
I
can't. Barkevious? Come on, tell me Barkevious.
No, he's with New England now. He's with New England.
Oh, right. The corner
that everybody...
Oh, yeah, another guy they fleeced from the Browns.
Yeah. The corner that I can't ever think of, the Cleveland Brown corner. If a corner, a good corner...
Joe Hayden.
If Cleveland calls up the Saints and say, you want Joe Hayden for a second or a third round pick?
I don't know. I mean, they're about to get Sterling Moore and Delvin Bro back, you know? So I feel like their corners are actually okay, especially if they get two back.
What about a pass rusher?
This three safety, yeah, okay. Pass rusher, different story.
What if Ryan Pace calls up and wants to give you Willie Sutton? And it's like a fifth round pick.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Living the now, baby.
Done.
We're mortgaging the future.
Where do I sign?
Where do I sign? You just want Paul Kruger off the field? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I just want... No, not necessarily. I don't mind him as a sub rusher. I just want more guys.
Yeah. Here's a question for you, Andrew. Who's going to help the Saints defense sooner, Rankins or Bro? Assuming they both come back this week, who's going to be...
Definitely Bro, without question. I think Rankins, especially on third down, is a really nice potential where... Especially if he can push the pocket and get some rush going, it might mean more sacks, and God knows we could use more of those. But Bro gives you an element. I think Bro changes a lot defensively because of his man ability, and I think you can trust him one-on-one on an island with a lot of really good receivers. And when you can do that, it allows you to blitz your safety. It allows you to not, rotate a linebacker over in coverage underneath. So I think... A lot of times when you have an elite cover guy, it actually helps the pass rush too. You can send an extra guy. You can just do more things on defense.
Yeah.
I think that the defense the Saints have right now is pretty vanilla a lot of the time.
Kevin, we made jokes all summer long about Michael Thomas being way overpriced in fantasy. That dude is an animal. He caught 6 for 6 against maybe the best secondary in football. I said it last week, and I'll ask you this week.
How many did Snead catch?
Six. 6 of 8.
I think 6 of 8, yeah.
Kevin, I'm giving you $100. You're going to Vegas. But who's going to have the most catches on the Saints team at the end of the year?
Thomas or Snead?
Pick one. You can't
bet. Or Cooks.
Hang on. Let me pull up where the hell they are right now. Hang on.
That's got to be Thomas.
Yeah.
I don't know. Snead gets a lot of that short possession type stuff.
Yeah but Thomas is ahead right now.
Yeah. Brandon Cooks has 36 catches. Michael Thomas has 42. Willie Snead has 34.
Oh, really? He's that far ahead already?
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Snead did miss a game.
I tell you what. I could see Thomas. I see Thomas holding on the entire lead. Like, I don't even think Brandon Cooks will beat him. I think Thomas will hold on the whole year.
I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's having an amazing season, but, you know, Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott are starting to fall off a little bit. I mean, Michael Thomas is a dark horse for Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's in the mix.
Yeah, he's got to start. He's
very
gotta,
dark horse.
He's got to start scoring. Yeah. He's got to start scoring more touchdowns, though.
I'm just saying. He has started the season well enough that if he goes off at the end of the year, and some of these other guys fade, it's not out of the question he wins.
He's basically getting those Evan McMillan odds over at 538.com.
Hey man,
there we go. Joke for Ralph.
He's carrying Utah, baby. I wrote him in for Texas.
They should have targeted Mike Thomas on some of those red zone plays.
That would have been ideal. All right, before we get to San Francisco picks, we got Twitter questions. Dave. This is freaking about football. What would you rather hear for an hour? Newton complaining about being hit or Sherman complain about penalties?
Can I get 30 minutes of both?
if they're complaining about the Saints, in other words, if Sherman's complaining about penalties that didn't get called by the Saints, or if it's Cam Newton getting complained.
Yeah, the team that built a whole defensive theory on committing penalties is going to complain about penalties. Did I lose Dave? Hello?
Hey.
Hey, did we lose Dave? I think we did.
No, I'm okay. Here. Sorry, I don't know. That was weird. It went to like speakerphone and then regular. No, that was weird. But anyway, so if it was you know, if they were complaining about the Saints, then I could listen to that all day. But otherwise, I don't want to hear any of that.
Oh, Lord. All right. Before we get to the next question, people, please donate. We had a couple people donate this past week. We thanked them on Twitter. We need to just raise a little bit of more money to pay for the 2017.
Just give a dollar.
Just give a dollar. We're getting close to raising enough money to pay for the server fee for 2017. Kevin.
Did you guys see that dildo get thrown on the field?
Oh, my God, Buffalo.
Of course, I saw Goodell on the field at that Bills game.
Drew McGarry just Drew McGarry just filed that away.
I see what you did there, Dave.
Drew McGarry just filed that away. That's going to be 2,000 words on why your team sucks for Buffalo. It's just going to be that. That's all it's going to be. Kevin, what tastes better? Jimmy Graham's silent pouting or Sherman's tears?
I can't even make the noise because my voice is shit. I like Jimmy Graham's pouting. I like the pouting better. Yeah, I like that.
That was an honest answer.
Yeah.
This is from Reichert, Andrew. Sweeter Halloween candy. Sweeter Halloween candy or the irony the Seahawks complaining about not getting calls in the secondary?
I mean, is that even a question? you know my answer.
I mean, I forgot who it was, and I apologize. They tweeted, they're like, I don't have a question. I just took these two pictures and wanted to share them. And it's a picture of Sherman complaining, and the other pick is Snead doing a pick. And I was like, if I could snort that with a $100 bill, I totally would. it was mad. Like, the Saints beating Seattle was magical enough.
I would mainline it.
I mean, the Saints beating Seattle was more. We got a brawl going on with the cats.
Oh my God! Is that a brawl between your cat and your kid?
No, that's a brawl between two of the cats. the Saints just beating Seattle would have been more than enough. But the fact that Richard Sherman complained and called it an atrocity and a disgrace or whatever he did after the game, like, that was just like the cherry on top. It was Just magnificent. Let's see. My cats.
I mean, seriously, have you guys ever tasted cake better than that?
No. I mean,
it was so delicious.
That win, I said the carrot. Like, where does this rate on the Saints' best wins in the last like 3 years, Kevin?
Oh, for Christ's sake!
I know. I ask that all the. I ask that every week.
I don't know. With the whining though, with the crying.
I mean, God.
The post game
so
crying.
Good. So good.
I mean, no, I don't know. That felt pretty good.
God, it tastes good.
That notched it up. Like you told me this after the game, Ralph, and I completely agree. Richard Sherman's post game conference like added like 20% to the excitement.
I mean, like it really did. I mean. God, it was so good. So
that's the spot right there. Oh yeah,
that's the stuff. Dave, are you wearing pants?
No. Listen, I haven't worn pants since 1987.
All right,
he's only wearing t-shirts.
All right, so let's get to before we get out of here. Let's get to the game pick for this week. The Saints can get.
Well,
to...
I think we just need to let Kevin pick and call tonight.
I was going
to
say, Kevin, you can lead off. I'll tell you this: the Saints are favored by 3, and Vegas every week they put out a ranking of certain casinos, and they rank the NFL teams 1 to 32 with how many points they either are going to be favored by or they'll be underdog. San Francisco is dead last in the Vegas power rankings for gambling, and the Saints are a 3-point favorite at Levi Stadium.
Oh, shit.
And San Francisco, they are dead last in the NFL.
Are they 1-6?
They're 1-6. They are dead last in yards per game on offense, and they are dead last in rushing defense. Not only are they dead last in rushing defense, they are 42 yards worse than number 31, Cleveland Browns. They give up 185 yards a game, 5.1 a carry.
They're also dead last in points given up.
Yeah, they get blown out a lot. So, Kevin, just giving that information to you and the people out there if they want to make the wager. So, you lead us off because you nailed it last week.
All right. I think that everything is setting up for the 49ers to look really good on offense. But I think that the Saints are actually going to have – I think we're getting a reverse 2011. So, final score, I'm going to say, what did I say last year? It was 29. I'm going to say 34-30. Saints, and we're going to get a Kobe Fleener touchdown.
Ooh, to win it.
At the end to win it.
That's interesting. Andrew, who you
And got? Let me tell you something. If fucking Kobe Fleener catches the goddamn game-winning touchdown, I'm hiding in my basement. Because I don't know what the hell is going to happen at that point.
I know. I'm sending you to Vegas with a pile of money. Andrew.
Before I answer, I have a quick question. Is Gabbert starting, or did they go back to Gabbert, or are they still
No, they're
Kaepernick?
Still with Colin Kaepernick, I think.
He's been garbage.
Their team,
Blaine. Here's the thing: Kaepernick may be garbage.
Blaine Gabbert's
Gabbert is Yo, Gabbert Gabba, is Gabba. Nuclear garbage.
here's the thing with San Francisco:
nuclear waste.
And I know, Saints fans. I know we care about the Saints, and we kind of pay attention to like Atlanta and other teams. But I sort of pay attention to San Francisco more than most because I used to work at the Mercury News, and I'm still sort of friendly with some of the people that run some websites, and I follow their writers on Twitter. The 49ers are a goddamn dumpster fire. I mean, their fan
base... Yeah, they've given up.
Their fan base is in revolt. So their stadium's like half empty. And they have a columnist out there. Follow them for if you want to just get like schadenfreude in the Niners, Tim Kawakami. And I mean, basically, and he's right. Like, their fan base is like, to the owner, you chased off Jim Harbaugh. And you hired the coach for a year. I forget his name. Tom Sula.
Tom Sula.
Tom Sula, who farted during a press conference. And and you hired Chip Kelly. And they're like, you ran off the dude who got us to 3 straight NFC title games. and now we're garbage again. We hate you. They fly banners over the stadium. Like, they are completely dysfunctional. So, I mean, I know...
I love it. I love that.
Me and you are like old school Saints fans, Kevin. We hate... San Francisco, I would say they're still like in my top three most hated. It would be like Atlanta, Seattle, San Francisco probably. But Andrew, it's your turn to make a pick, so go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints, you know, every time they do this, every time they start 0-3, 0-4, they always kind of climb their way back to 500. And I feel like this is either they got the big emotional win over Carolina and the big emotional win over Seattle. You know, I think this is going to be one of those games where the Saints go on the road and kind of take care of business. So I'm going to say 32-17 Saints.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they finally have a game where, you know, they don't have that colossal mistake, you know, that kind of keeps the other team in it. And I just think the 49ers are terrible top to bottom right now. And I think the effort is poor, and they're not playing for Chip Kelly.
They will roll over and die if the Saints can get ahead of them.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the goat of the game. I'll go with Tim Hightower again,
the hero. Will he get 100 yards
again? Yeah, I think so. I mean, the 49ers are giving up the 49ers are giving up 185 yards a game. I mean, their run defense is so porous. You know, I don't see how
poor
they
is
anyone.
It?
Did the Saints never gave up 185 yards a week, even at the depths of Rob Ryan?
They probably did.
Not averaging though. I mean, that's average now. I mean, that's not like the high one. I mean, the over under for Saints running is probably 175, I would set it at.
Just to give you a sense, guys, the worst team in yards yielded on the ground is the 49ers with 1,300 yards. The next worst is the Browns with 1,150.
Oh, my God.
The worst in yards per carry is the 49ers at 5.1 per carry.
Who's second, though?
The Redskins are 4.9, and then the Browns are 4.8.
That's pretty similar.
But 5 yards a carry, over 5 yards a carry.
Ooh, that is...
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's real bad.
So Dave, who do you have?
Well, this one seems pretty cut and dry. I think it's going to be just like you guys have said. You know, I think the Saints on, but this will be the first game where we see the Saints take control of a game and maintain control of the game from start to finish.
Yeah.
I'll say, I think the Saints could easily put up a whole bunch of points. I'll say Saints 42, 49ers, 9-7.
He's got the abacus out?
42-24.
I mean, I feel like if the Saints can get up 14-0 early,
yeah,
I mean, they're gonna throw 100 yards worth of dildos on the field.
Well, the thing is, I wonder how many Saints fans will be out there because it's super easy to get tickets.
The Chargers game already had a lot.
Yeah. So who's your hero then, Dave?
My hero will be, since we were talking about Michael Thomas earlier. He really hasn't had like a big breakout party kind of game. So I'll say Michael Thomas, 2 TDs, 125 yards.
Now, you guys think the Saints defense is bad. They give up 30.7 points a game, which is second worst in the NFL.
Yeah.
The only team worse, the 49ers.
Oh,
31.3.
Here's the thing though. I feel like you guys are too giddy over the Seattle win. Have you been watching the Saints this year? They're not blowing anybody out. The Saints are going to win because they got to win this game, period. I mean, if they're going to even get to 8-8, you got to go and beat San Francisco. But it's going to be close, and it's going to kind of sort of come down to the end. It's going to be 38-31 Saints. Rankins is going to make the big sack at the end to hold them, and they'll do the victory formation. But I'm going to tell you the hero of the game.
Rankins, huh?
Rankins is going to he's going to only play like 20 plays, but he's going to have a sack at the end. But I'm going to tell you who's going to be the Saints hero of the game, and this is going to be Sean Payton trolling the entire fantasy universe. Daniel Lasco is going to have 75 yards and two scores. And it's just
going to be like California, isn't he?
He played at Cal.
Yeah.
So it's troll. And the Saints will be 4-4 and we'll be happy. But I just don't. I mean, I don't think the Saints are capable of blowing anybody out. And if I'm wrong, we can play this soundbite and you guys can laugh at me again. And for the people, all the people on Twitter, they ask me, what will you do? What will you do slash eat if the Saints make the playoffs? I'm not going to become eat weird stuff guy on the internet. I'm not going to do that. That was just, yesterday was just Andrew baited me. He was Hillary Clinton. I was Donald Trump. He baited me and I walked right into it. I give him credit, but that's how it is. So please remember to donate. We just a little bit. We just need a little bit more money to get that server paid off. So go to Canal Street Chronicles and read Dave. Go to Saints Nation and read Andrew's grades. And go to the Twitters and find me and Kevin arguing about everything or nothing at all. So until next week, the bar is closed.
Reese's Pieces is the best Halloween candy. None of you motherfuckers at me.